Well, we begin today following up on some troubling environmental news from West Louisville. The Environmental Protection Agency announced the results of soil testing from residential properties bordering the old Blackleaf Chemical site in the Park Hill neighborhood. The various levels of toxic substances were found in all of the samples, 50 in all. Here to talk about it all, what happens next, our Louisville Metro Councilman David James. His 6th Council District includes the Blackleaf site. Councilman, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. And also with us, WFPL environment reporter Erica Peterson, who's been covering the story. First of all, a little background, and we'll start with you, Erica. Exactly what is Blackleaf? What do they make there?
Well, Blackleaf is a 29-acre site in the Park Hill neighborhood, and it's been occupied by various companies over the past, 60 years or so. They stopped manufacturing in about 1970, but basically it manufactured pesticides, DDT, dieldrin, things that today we know are dangerous, but back then they didn't.
So what exactly did the EPA find in its testing?
Well, what they did was they tested 50 yards, and these are all homes that pretty much abut the Blackleaf site. They had found contamination on the Blackleaf site, and they wanted to see if that had spread to individual properties. They tested 50 yards, and in every single one of them, they found something. And that kind of ranges. They were looking for heavy metals. In some yards, they found signs of lead or arsenic. They were also looking for pesticides. They found that in some yards as well. Yeah. And in some yards, they also found something called benzoapyrene, which is a polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbon, or a PAH, which is a probable human carcinogen. So it kind of, depending on what yard you're in, it was something a little bit different everywhere.
So there's varying degrees of risk, I guess, depending on the exact place.
Yeah, there are. And that's something that the EPA has been careful to say. They just because you have this in your yard does not mean, there's an imminent health risk. It doesn't mean there isn't. They aren't saying that yet either. But it doesn't necessarily mean, they don't want people to freak out about this yet. They did find higher levels in 9 of the yards. And they sent this highly technical letter to homeowners, basically informing them of that. And these 9 yards, there are higher levels. And so those will assumedly kind of be, first up for remediation. But we have a clip here from the EPA on-scene coordinator Art Smith, who is the one here in Louisville who's been managing that.
Just because it exceeded a removal management level, it didn't imply that the adverse health effects will occur again. It just indicates that those homes are likely to go on a list for future cleanup. And if so, would be the focus of a cleanup earlier than other homes that did not exceed risk management levels.
And so, they're being careful to kind of cage their language here. And right now, all they're really telling people is that they recommend washing their hands if they're outside and in the dirt.
And Councilman James, you, of course, you've been in contact with the EPA and, of course, your constituents out there. First of all, what is the EPA saying about how it's addressing the contamination?
The EPA is still studying the situation to get a little bit more information and to coordinate with its partners to determine their course of action for the upcoming future. We've also discussed ways to better inform the community about what's going on. As Erica said before, the letter that is sent to the residents is a pretty highly technical document and doesn't really answer a lot of questions. And so Art Smith and I met, and he recognizes that and understands that and wants to be open and transparent in this process so that people understand that, and I want them to be also. And so we're working on trying to arrange a meeting, a public meeting, probably within the next 30 days at Wheatley Elementary School, and there'll be more information about that coming out soon.
But who would be responsible for cleaning this up, or is that still being determined?
That's still being determined. The EPA attorneys are meeting with the attorneys for the respective businesses that have been there to try and find some resolution that is agreeable to everybody. And so how that will eventually look, I'm not sure. And so we'll wait and see on that one.
And I think when I first started reporting about this, I think it was back in January or February, one of the most kind of the most extreme way of remediation they were talking about was actually physically excavating the soil from the yards that were contaminated and replacing it all with fresh soil, you know, reseeding it, putting it back like it was, but actually getting the soil out of there, which, you know, I'd imagine is a pretty large endeavor, you know, and expensive. Mm-hmm.
What is on the site now? Is it just an abandoned property?
It's abandoned property, some abandoned warehouses and buildings rest on the property now.
And one of the problems originally was there's a fence surrounding the property, and in some places it was damaged. It was actually caved in a couple of places, and there were signs of trespassing, which, you know, became a concern when they discovered that the area was highly contaminated. They didn't want people going in and being exposed to that, as well as, you know, possibly taking it out with them. But so they fixed the fence, I believe, since
yes.
then.
Yes.
And, Councilman, of course, you've been speaking with the constituents there. How worried are they?
You know, the letter is not user-friendly, and the EPA admits that, and that's why they want to have the conversation. And so it caused some concern and alarm in some folks that live around the area. And so there are some that are very concerned. They, you know, they have children that live there, and they want to make sure they protect their families and that they're protected, and they want to know what to do. And so they have a lot of questions, and hopefully we will have some answers for them very shortly.
What have your interactions been like with the EPA? How are they to work with?
They're very open and very much wanting to do what the right thing is. And because they are required to send that letter out within a certain time period when they discover that there's a problem, that's a requirement by law. So is that letter, the way it's written, is a requirement by law. So therefore, they recognize that that is not the most warm and friendly letter that you could receive. And so the EPA is good to work with. They're wanting to help. They're wanting to talk to people. They want people that have questions to call them, and they're going to be helping us and myself go door to door to talk to people in the affected area. So they're good to work with.
Go ahead.
One thing I think too is important to note. Councilman James and I were talking about this earlier, that they tested 50 homes and they found contamination in all of them, but they originally, I mean, the way, in order to do soil testing on private property, the EPA sent letters to, I believe, about 80 homeowners. They had to get, you know, permission to do it, and they only got permission from 50, and that's who they tested. So not only is there a possibility that there are more homes contaminated among this initial group, there's really no way to know right now how far the contamination spreads, whether it's really limited to the homes that are right next to the site or whether it could go farther in either direction.
That's right. We had that discussion and we talked about, you know, what's the borderline? You know, if Erica lives next door to me and they tested her home, mm-hmm. but they didn't test my home, how do I know that my home is safe? And so we've had some discussions around that and about possibly expanding the testing area.
So there could be a wider radius of contamination, but still need to be tested. Has there anything similar been going on at other sites? Either one of you can answer this question around Louisville, and how has it been addressed?
Not since I've been here. I've only been in Louisville about a year. I mean, I know there are other sites of concern. I mean, the Lee's Lane landfill, you know, former Superfund site kind of comes to mind. But those are all older sites that I don't think there's still, you know, active testing going on, in at least in homes around it.
Right. As I always tell people, I'm a baby councilman. So I've been here about a year and a half, maybe. And this is the first EPA issue I've had to deal with in my district. And I just adopted this part of the district when they did redistricting. So it's the only one that I know of.
Well,
and Councilman James, is there, I mean, it seems like a huge piece of land to me, you know, 29 acres in the middle of this, you know, pretty high density urban area.
Yes.
Is there any chance that this can eventually be remediated and actually be, you know, something good for the district rather than a toxic site?
I'm hoping that it'll be something good for the district. What helped spur some of this was somebody was looking to possibly put some residential housing there, which caused the EPA to start doing the testing. And so part of my questioning to the EPA was, you know, can we put a big cap on this? Do we have to dig it all up? And what are those answers? And they're still working to find those answers for me.
I mean, I think even, you know, even a park or something that at least would be, you know, positive and not
yes.
surrounded by a fence would be great.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Let's talk about, again, some of the specific substances that were found. When you refer to heavy metals, exactly what are those?
Well, those are things like lead and arsenic. I mean, those are things that, you know, quite honestly, we're exposed to in much higher quantities now than you know, human beings have been in the past. And high levels, they can cause problems. I mean, everyone knows, you know, you don't eat arsenic. I mean, it's right. It's a poison. Lead poisoning is, you know, is thankfully now that there's not lead being used in paint commonly, it's becoming less common. But it can have a really serious effect on the central nervous system, and especially in children. If you know, if you rent or buy a house that has lead paint, you're required to be informed of that and sign a disclaimer, because if your kid is exposed to it, is eating paint chips off the porch or something. It can really cause some serious delays that are really kind of impossible to. I mean, there are ways to treat it, but it's really hard to get over. So that's one of the concerns, especially for you know, kids who might be, you know, out eating dirt. I mean, kids put everything
some
in their
them,
mouth.
Yeah.
You know? So that's some of the concerns with the heavy metals. With the other stuff. I mean, you know, pesticides like dialdrin, you know, have been proven to be dangerous, and benzoapyrene, which I know sounds, you know, like technical but it's I mean, it's a PAH, which we're finding out more and more about, and it's been listed by the EPA as a probable human carcinogen. They don't have enough evidence right now to say it's definite, but it's been shown to cause some problems in the past. So these are kind of the red flags that are that are up here and that are raising eyebrows, I think.
And Councilman, I'm sure you'll be in touch with your constituents as these meetings are scheduled.
Absolutely. There'll be announcements coming out. We'll be going door to door and handing out leaflets to announce that the meetings are coming up. And we're also going to try to go to those other houses that didn't return a letter to the EPA to try to get permission to test those properties also.
All right. Thanks to Councilman David James and WFPL Environment reporter Erica Peterson as we continue to cover the discovery of a contamination at the old Blackleaf site in Louisville's Park Hill neighborhood. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.